The scripture this morning, and I know you're all familiar with it, comes from Luke chapter 19. We'll be reading together verses 1 through 10, and then I want to comment briefly on the story, and then just bring you some thoughts concerning old Zacchaeus. And I like to think of Zacchaeus as a man who went out on the limb. Man who went out on the limb. Luke chapter 19, beginning then in verse 1. And he, Jesus, entered and was passing through Jericho. And behold, there was a man called by the name of Zacchaeus, and he was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. And he was trying to see who Jesus was. And he was unable because of the crowd, for he was small in stature. And he ran on ahead and climbed into a sycamore tree in order to see him, for he was about to pass through that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and he said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for today I must stay at your house." And he hurried and came down and received him gladly. And when they saw it, they all began to grumble, saying, "He has gone to be the guest of a man who is a sinner." Zacchaeus stopped and said to the Lord, "Behold, Lord, half of my possessions I will give to the poor, and if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will give back four times as much." And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because he too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." Let's pray together. Father, I thank you for your word, and I thank you for the power and the majesty in it. And I simply pray that through the power of your Holy Spirit, you'd speak in each heart for Jesus' sake. For it's in his name we pray. Amen. Just a couple of observations, if you will. It always talks about Zacchaeus as being a tax gatherer or a tax collector. And then it says he was rich. Now, you know, a lot of people say, well, that gives us a reason to hate the IRS, doesn't it? But that's not, you have to understand the tax system in that day. There were basically two kinds of tax. One were the stated taxes. These were the, and by the way, employment tax was only 1% in that day. But the tax that you paid on everything that you grew was 10%. And 20% for the wines that you made. There was a poll tax that everybody paid. Every girl above the age of 12, every boy above the age of 13, and that had to be paid every year. But those were stated taxes. You knew exactly what the amount was. The other taxes and what Zacchaeus was probably collecting were the duties. A tax collector in that day had every single right to stop you if you were on your way to town with a load of barley. And he had every right to have you unload all of that so that he could go through it to make sure there was nothing else. And then he had every right to levy a tax, a duty on that barley. Now, you can see that there's a lot of room in the system for theft. And Zacchaeus, to his credit, said, if I have defrauded anyone. Now you know if you do or you know if you don't you? And so taxes were a different kind of thing. And the thing is, when the Lord Jesus touched his heart, Zacchaeus went beyond all legal requirements to make restitution. There's a verse, a phrase in this passage, in verse 3, that intrigues me. It's the verse that says he climbed up in the tree because he was trying to see who Jesus was. Say, well, why does that intrigue you? Now, I want you to think back, and this is dangerous. I don't want you to think through the whole sermon, but I want you to take for a minute, okay, and think about this. How many people in the scripture do you remember who came to Jesus simply to see who he was? Now, there are a lot of people came because they were hurting, because they were sick. They came to be healed. There are people that came to Jesus because he called them to follow him, to be disciples. How many people can you remember who simply came to see who he was? You see, that intrigues me. You know that deep within each one of us, there is that place that can't be filled by anything except a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. It says that he was rich. He had it made. He had all that he ever would need and more. He had security in his position. He was a chief tax collector. Zacchaeus had a lot going for him, but you know what? He lacked something and he knew it. And he came to Jesus to see maybe this Jewish carpenter was what I need. Let's take a look just quickly through the story. I want to call some things to your attention. First of all, you know, we talk about New Year's resolutions. Anybody making any this year? But you see, normally what we're talking about are quick fixes, okay? How many different diets do you know? Now, I'm just assuming that there are going to be a few people that are going to make a resolution to lose weight. Don't put your hand up. How many diets do you know? Just shout them out. There's the Scarsdale. What else is there? Adkins. That works for me. What else is there? Okay. What else? Oh, yeah. We know a lot of ways, don't we? Has that helped most of us much? You see, we look for quick fixes in life. And in the story of Zacchaeus, he wasn't looking for a quick fix. He literally was looking for something that would fill his life. Fulfill him spiritually. You see, transformation always starts with Jesus. The Bible says that when a person surrenders their life to the Lord Jesus Christ, all things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. We become a new creature, a new creation. A new person through that transformation that only comes through the Lord Jesus. And so as Zacchaeus came searching for Jesus, he was in the right place because any transformation, I'm not talking about quick fixes. Any transformation of a life has to begin with Jesus. Secondly, though, the passage shows us Jesus will meet you halfway. Jesus will meet you halfway. You see, Zacchaeus took the first step. I wonder how many people were in the trees that day looking for Jesus. Is it any wonder that as Jesus passed by, he looked up and he saw him and he stopped? He stopped. You see, Zacchaeus had taken the first step. He had taken the first step. And when you take the first step toward Jesus, he will always meet you halfway. We have two of the most beautiful little great-grandchildren in the world. Two wonderful little great-granddaughters. I could spend the rest of my time telling you how beautiful they are. I can remember when the older, and she's like 2 and a half now, I can remember when she started to walk. And you would coax her, let go of the coffee table. She would take one step or two steps, but then what would you do? Well, you'd reach out and you'd catch her. You'd meet her halfway. I didn't sit there on the couch and say, come on over. Hey, you didn't make it that time, try again. When she would make the effort, you can be guaranteed the great-grandpa was going to meet her. Because I loved her. And you know what? Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you more than life itself. He proved that. He loves you more than life itself. You can count on Jesus to meet you at the point of your need if you'll just take the first step. Just take the first step. Nothing happens until you respond positively to Jesus' invitation. Jesus came to the place where Zacchaeus was, and he said to Zacchaeus, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down. If Zacchaeus had not responded in a positive way, Jesus would never have entered his house or his life. But he responded in a positive way. You know, there are people that feel the tug of the Holy Spirit on their life in services. They can be watching television. They'll feel that tug of the Holy Spirit on their life. And they'll fight that off. I never quite understood that. And I guess they think they won. But I want you to know that until you respond positively to Jesus' invitation, then nothing is going to happen. Jesus came where he was. What more could you ask? Jesus sought him out. Jesus found him. And Jesus called him. And all of that would have been in vain if Zacchaeus had not responded positively. Now, there is another verse in there that to me it's a little bit hilarious because I've seen it all my ministry. Did you know in every church there are some who are the theys? It said that the Lord came and Zacchaeus hurried. He came down and received him gladly. They went to his house. Verse 7, and when they saw it, they all began to grumble, saying, he has gone to be the guest of a man who is a sinner. Every church has some theys. And I want to be honest with you. All of us fall into that category from time to time if we're honest. I don't want a show of hands, but I'm going to ask you something. And she, if she was standing beside me, wouldn't mind. Did any of you fall into the they camp when Vanessa first came here? And yet God did a miraculous thing in her life, didn't he? And all of the people who were in the they camp, you know, that looked on her were like, oh, well, my goodness. Oh, well, my goodness. You see, we all fall into the they camp from time to time. And what we need to always understand is that Jesus Christ is for everyone. Everyone. Not just those that look right and smell right and dress right and walk right. I don't care what kind of limitation we put on it. Jesus doesn't put any. Jesus is for everyone. And so what I'm saying is, don't be concerned with what they say. Just kind of grin and shake your head. Say, wow. Wow. You see, you just have to overlook some folks, don't you? Just have to overlook them. The Bible says in this passage that Jesus came to seek and to save that which is lost. To seek and to save that which was lost. It's the word that's used there for save, or excuse me, for lost, it's used five different times in the New Testament. And it's a word that doesn't mean damned or doomed or anything like that. It just means something that's not where it should be. And so when Jesus said he had come to seek and to save that which was lost, he was saying, and remember he said that he's a son of Abraham too? The only difference is he's gotten away from where he needs to be. Now I can guarantee you that in every church, in every place in America today and around the world, there are people sitting in pews who have moved from where they should be. They're lost. They're not where they should be. It's not the same for them as it once was. The joy has gone out of it. They even dread coming to church. Some of them just come because they don't want other people to see they're not coming and say, what's the matter with him or her? You see, Jesus is the one that reaches down and touches lives, and he puts them right back into the family of God where they belong. Do you know where you belong this morning? Some people say, well, I belong at home reading the Sunday paper. Do you know where you belong this morning? You belong in the family of God. That's what you were created for. You were created to be a blessing to God, to worship God. You were created to be a part of the family of God. And if that's not where you're at, and I'm talking all the way there, if that's not where you're at, then you're just wandering somewhere in the wilderness. Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. I read an illustration in thinking about this passage, and it's a pretty short one. there was a service going on, and during the service, some of the ladies in the congregation were standing one by one and just giving glorious testimony to what God had done in their lives. And there was one lady with her head down, gritting her teeth. And they tried to coax her to give her testimony. And she just kept her mouth shut and shook her head. And finally somebody said, "Well, why won't you give your testimony?" She said, "I'll tell you why. There are four ladies that have already stood and gave their testimony that owe me money, and I can't afford to buy food for my family." It was obvious that something happened to Zacchaeus, wasn't it? The things that had mattered to him before, the riches, all of those things, position, house, wealth, none of that made any difference anymore, because he was willing to give up more than what was required for that relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, true transformation results in a change of heart, which in turn results in a change of behavior. It used to be that people said, "You are what you eat." But I'm going to tell you something. You are what you do. Let's take a moment and pray together. Father, as we think about a new year, as we think about all that's gone on in the past, each one of us needs a fresh start. We need a fresh start with you. We need to surrender to Jesus in a way that allows him to draw us right back to where we need to be in fellowship with the Father and the family of God. I pray this morning that through your Spirit you work in some lives, and that some people make that very positive response to your pleading, to the movement of your Holy Spirit, that they might rejoice in a brand new relationship with you. God help us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I invite you to stand quietly and prayerfully. Heads bowed, eyes closed. It's an awesome thing when the Spirit of God moves among people. That's an awesome thing when he reaches out and draws us to himself. And through all the years, I've never understood why people hold back. The invitation this morning is simple. Come to Jesus. If you've never surrendered your life to him, you've not been saved, I invite you to come and do that. It may be that, like so many of us, you've gotten out of your place spiritually. If you come to Jesus, he'll put you right back where you belong, reestablish you in the family of God. It may be that this morning, God has laid on your heart the simple understanding that you need to be a part of this church family, and that you need to come and make that known. Whatever God has spoken to you this morning, I invite you to come. Don's going to lead our hymn of invitation. And I pray that you'll just be sensitive to the Holy Spirit and respond positively.
Hymn 320, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus.